introductions he needs to do so we can have a presentation on Spring Creek and Roy Lake.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Secretary Heffler. This is a carryover item from last month. We wanted to give you an update on how things have been going at our the newest acquisitions, former concession at both Spring Creek and Roy Lake. Felt like it's better to get out in front of this a little bit ahead of the proposal so that you guys can better understand the situations that we've got in those two areas and some of the unique situations that we're dealing with the cabins and whatnot. But I've got Willie Collignon and Pat Thompson here, both my regional supervisors, to give you an update on both of those locations. And once we've move through that, we'll move into the proposals, and with your permission, Mr. Chair, I'd ask Willie to lead us off and Chris to get the PowerPoint fired up.
Yep, please do.
Well, as he's getting that up, good afternoon. I'm Willie Collignon, Regional Supervisor for the Parks Division in the Northeast. Thank you for having us today. So we're starting off, we'll tell you a little bit about Roy Lake, how that resort has gone. As you're well aware, we did purchase that on March 1st. You can go ahead, Chris, that's fine. On March 1st, this, what you're seeing here on the left is the main resort building. This building is kind of a 1950s era. Construction has been added on to a few times. Within this building, we do have two rental suites. There's one up on top, one on the bottom. And we got into this building about May 1st. There's also an apartment in here that the previous operator did reside in there. What you're seeing to the right is there's a common area within this building next to the C store that actually it's done up pretty well. It's been a pretty good little hangout place for folks, kind of like a little coffee shop next to the lake type motif. Go ahead, Chris. So in this area, just to go through what we've got, there's a lot of day use in here. We've got a floating fishing pier, a lot of beach activities. There's a boat ramp. There's also numerous of these docks that are there for just courtesy, convenience for some of the cabin renters in the area. Go ahead. Other day uses, we've got some slips here. You see some kids fishing off of some slips that we have rental boats in. We got into this all a little late. And so you don't see rental boats in those slips this time. There was several little 12-foot John boats with 9.9s on them. There's a pontoon boat, another Lund boat that did come with the operation, but we just didn't have time with the COVID and the short staff to get those operational here for the summer. So we will explore that over the winter. As you can see here, gentlemen out hanging on the deck. One thing kind of special to Roy Lake is a lot of these users in this complex. So it's a complex. So there's 12 different rental units in this lodge building. But they don't typically leave, right? If they spend some time on the lake, they go fish, they go water recreate, they come back and they spend their days here on the grounds. Go ahead. This here, this is a suite. And so we've kind of termed it this way because there's numerous rentals within the same structure, almost kind of like a hotel motel style setup. So what you're seeing in this building on the upper left is two story. It faces the lake and it's a fourplex. So there's a rental unit on each upper level and two on each lower level. And these lower ones walk right out to lake level. You can see the fence on the left that enters right off to the lake. What you're seeing below that is the upper level. That's a parking lot. That's where everyone accesses to this structure. You can see there's decks there providing overlooks out to the lake. Yep. And so this is the inside of the suites. Some of the user space as you come in, these four are really all very similar. Respectable kitchen, dining area, living room space. We do have internet and working out on phone. Or not phone, sorry, TV for services for these facilities. Go to the next one. And so these all have, like some of our differences we're going to visit about is these typically have two bedrooms, similar to what you're seeing in the upper left, and each bedroom currently has two beds. These are two full-size beds, and they're all set up this way. So in each one of these suites, in particular, two bedroom has four full-size beds, increasing their sleeping capacity. And then a typical bedroom for each one of the suites. Go ahead. So now the modern cabin, right? We came back last year and sought a designation for modern cabins. And so this is what you can see, right? These are cabins, pretty typical in what people's minds are, what a cabin is. When you look back at what those suites were, and we have those listed as a modern cabin, people were very confused on what they get when they arrive. So, but these cabins at Roy Lake, they vary from two bedroom to one bedroom. You know, the difference in almost a couple hundred square feet per unit here. But you can see typically what those look like. Go ahead. Inside, typically these cabins, again, these are 1950s vintage. So a lot of the things we look at are they're rustic, they're nostalgic. People talk about coming to these exact same buildings when they were a kid. Actually, a lot of us as kids probably had them same chairs in our dining rooms. But these are, again, so typical up in that upper right-hand side is a bedroom with a full size. Some are two, some are one bedroom. But even the two-bedroom ones only get one bed. So, again, greatly affecting the number of sleeping capacity of these structures. You can go ahead, Chris. So how's it going? How would this season show us? You can go ahead to the next one. So here's what Roy Lake had for occupancy. So you can see, it starts at cabin four because we have three camping cabins. You're all familiar with what those are. And so these start our cabins with a C and then the suites with an S. As we go down, you can see the different classes, the number of bedrooms, the number of beds, how many people they sleep. In all, when Pat and I were looking at some of these costs of these things, there was like 12 different sets of amenities in these buildings. But you've got days of occupancy. You can see some of these are actually we're quite proud of. 80 to 90 nights is pretty impressive for a first year for us to take these over. A really big undertaking for 1,000 nights on these with shortened staff and a mix of pandemic, right? People are still coming out. People are still visiting our parks. So you can see the revenue. Maybe I'll throw out a couple things here. Cabin 11 and Suite 17, you might see some anomalies in those numbers. Those are because they played a role in some of our seasonal housing. And on the Suite 17, that's actually, we were planning on putting an assistant manager in the apartment of that main building. We did not get in there until May 1st after we've already committed to this gentleman. And we all considered it not really livable. So we had to do some work to that. So we put him in one of these suites for the summer. So see $125,000 in revenue. You can go ahead, Chris. So inside that main building, I talked about the C store. Right? So again, we only got into this building on May 1st as the previous owners were still occupied this portion of the building. So we got, we called it a soft opening here about the 4th of July and kind of started dabbling into the retail sales for us. We quickly found out that ice and bait were the two items that really our visitors, our guests, were kind of demanding from us. So here really in about a month and a half under our belt, we sold about $8,000 worth of items there. And so you can kind of see in the store what it looks like, what we've been able to set up here in the short time we've had this summer. So there combined with the rentals and the total revenue, it's about $133,000 that we've gained from out of the resort operation from this summer. So. Some interesting things to note from that. The occupancy rates in that table was about 31%. I took it off on this one. Was about 31%. That occupancy just from open house to this coming weekend was actually 51% through the summer. So, and that's not 50% of Fridays and Saturdays. That's 50% of 7 days a week. So, we were very proud of the turnout we had on those. Another thing to note is between the last month and this month, we also allow reservations out a full year in advance. And so looking at 2021, from last month when I looked out a year in advance, we had $4,600 worth of revenue from rentals. Currently, we're at about $17,500 for rentals for 2021. So we're pretty impressed with that. Things have been going well. We held a planning meeting at the end of June to start trying to get all of these facilities, these 12 different structures, put into our five-year plan. You know, you've seen a lot of these buildings. You've seen a lot of the internal workings. They're dated, right? They need work. And so we had to try and work out a plan for updates, floors, siding, painting, the inside furnishings, right, the refrigerators, stoves, oven, things that we're not typically dealing with. But that plan's getting put in place. And really to wrap up, all of our visitors have been overwhelmingly in support of the movements we've been taking forward here at Roy Lake. So that's been very encouraging as well. I guess with that, I'll take any questions on Roy Lake that you may have, and we'll pass on to Pat.
I think that's a good job, Willie. I think that's going well.
Good. Thank you.
Gary, I think you had your mic on mute. If you don't care, maybe we just move right on to Pat.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I'm Pat Thompson of the Northwest Regional Park Supervisor, and good afternoon, Commissioners and Secretary Hippler. We'll move into the Spring Creek Resort update. You can go ahead to the next slide. Here's pictures of just kind of the marina and a little bit of party going on there on the outside deck of the restaurant and stuff there, so on patio. You can go to the next slide. Here's kind of a map that we developed of the whole complex that we did inherit, purchase and move into and manage. So it shows the dock systems in the marina area there that we obtained, the camping cabins and hotel units, shop complex, the restaurant and sea store, the comfort station and parking area and stuff there. So we took over January 1st. Most of the work, of course, we didn't get going until COVID hit, and of course then that kind of hampered us a little bit, bringing staff on and other things, but we're able to get most everything up and running, and even though it was kind of a push and stuff. So next slide. So this just shows the marine area. There's 69 slips total that we rent out. We did do a lot of work to those slips. We replaced they got a number here of 2,537 square feet of dock decking so far. So there's a lot of wood there to work on and to have to do work too, and along with electricity and other things there that we've had to really do a lot of work with and stuff. The docks the slips were mostly filled up, all but the C dock, which are the 30 footers, were about half full. There's 16 total, and we ended up having 8 of those rented out of the 16, but all the rest of the slips were filled up besides those. So we did do real well on those slip rentals. And got them pretty well booked in and stuff for the summer. Next slide. The restaurant area and the convenience store. We did list those, obviously, for getting in some people to hopefully run those. We did end up with the restaurant kicking in and us as the park staff running the C store. That started on May 6th, the contract for the restaurant, and us basically going in and trying to get that C store up and running. You can see there's quite a bit of work that we did to the building on the outside there. There was some steps that went up right in that right top picture there that went up alongside the building there and had quite a bit of rock there and a big hole. There was a big air conditioner unit for the C store, and that all got taken out, and those steps were in pretty bad shape. There's kind of a ramp there and stuff, and so those got removed, and you can see kind of the Tyvek in the bottom corner there and the finished product on the bottom left there of just removing those steps and leaving them off in that ramp. And so we did some work there, and then of course inside was a lot of work too. Next slide, please. That's the C store that we took over there again, there was a lot of work to do, just kind of cleaning up and fixing up and stuff like that. Obviously, we didn't really get a lot of the fixing up done that we wanted to, so a lot of that's going to be on the wintertime projects and stuff to get in there, replace carpeting, do some work to the walls and the interior there, kind of reorganize it, that kind of stuff or whatever. But we were able to get some good products in there for the most used stuff that everybody wants, and bait and that kind of thing. We had new gas delivery system that we had to install. The old one went out, of course, right when after we bought it. So we replaced that and got it up and running, and the gas sales have been pretty good, and along with bait and ice and all the other stuff that go into that. So it's been a good endeavor on that end, and then we run the rest of the cabins and everything out of that C-store area, so it's worked out pretty good from that area. Next. So the modern cabins that we took over, there's 10 modern cabins, two of the suites, like Willie was explaining, and then four of the motel units, we call them, type thing and stuff that we have. So there's a wide variety of different ones there. You can see in the top picture are the cabins that we have and kind of the interiors on the bottom pictures there, what those modern cabins have in them. They're 2 and 3 bedroom ones, and then a small little living area. And then it's kind of a, not necessarily a kitchen, but it does have a small fridge and a microwave and a little eating area there. But they wanted to push the customers to the restaurant to eat, and so they didn't put a full kitchen in those, and so it kind of limits what the people can do in there for cooking. But we did do grills on the outside there, so people can grill out and try to get what cooking they can done in there. So next slide. So the cabin revenue, or I guess the suites here first, I guess, Willie was talking about that. They're kind of a little bit different. Ours is even different than his, where we have two of those cabins, basically our suites, and they got four kind of motel units all in with a general common area in the center there. And so you'd be able to go in and lock your door at each one of those four different suite motel rooms, basically. But then you all would come out and be able to access that general work area or living area, I guess, in the center. And so the right hand picture up on the top is that common area, one of those. And then the bottom left hand picture is just kind of the motel room unit that you basically would lock yourself into when you go in, with the double beds and the bathroom and TV and a small fridge and microwave and that kind of thing in there. So the motel units are the top left picture there, has the inside of there. So it has double beds again, bathroom, just a small refrigerator and microwave and TV and that kind of thing in there. And that just shows the front picture of it there in the bottom right corner. So next slide. So this is the revenue that we've been able to bring in for those cabin units and suites so far this year. So that's future reservations and things like that. So obviously we didn't really have much time to put a lot of effort into advertising those and getting a lot of promotion into those and stuff. So I'm assuming that those numbers are really going to go up from here. Decent rentals on them. We'll see over $100,000 on those 760 nights occupied overall. So we're hoping that we can do some work on those and expand that out and get a lot more rental on those to increase that revenue and stuff. So next slide, please. The marine area, the boat slip rentals have done real well. Like I said, everything was filled up except for that 30-foot slip on the sea dock. Those 16 slips, so half of them were rented. And so that's why that number is a little bit lower at $19,000. But overall, we got $157 just on the 69 slips, I should say. And so we did real well on those. Some of them were just COVID. Some of the people that didn't want to rent on those, so I'm assuming once that gets under control, those slips will be filled up, and we'll be getting those in there. We are going to redo the 30-foot slip dock and redo that and put in more 60-foot. There's more demand for those, and so we'll cut those down and add additional 7 60-footers and drop down to 9 16-footers, I believe, on that dock system. So we should be able to get those rented out and bring a little bit more revenue in there. Next slide, please. The Steve's store revenue did real well. Kind of broke out into license sales there, 35,000, so just entrance licenses and things like that. But the gifts, beverages, food, ice, and bait were 36,000, and just fuel itself. Once we got that fuel station repaired and up and running and stuff, we did about 13 on the rough water fuel sales there. So we have $85,000 so far in that Steve's store, which is we're real happy with. It was kind of surprising that we did that much out of there, so that's a good sign that it's definitely needed in that area, and it will be used and be a good profit area for us. So that really did well for us. Next slide, please. So when you put everything all together, the C-store sales, the marina, and then the cabins and suite rentals, you see we brought in about $344,000 so far year to date on those. We're looking at about $250,000 would be a good year, we thought. So we are exceeding that, and it's looking real good so far, and especially with COVID-19, we didn't know what that was going to do, and so we're real happy with where we're sitting right now in that that total, and it's only going to go up from there for the rest of the year here and stuff. So I think next slide, please, I think would be it. So any questions for Spring Creek?
Commissioner Beast here. Those are total revenues. What have you projected a percentage for profits off of that?
Well, it depends on how you want to look at it. If we include salaries or if we include all the other stuff in there, we're thinking probably it's going to cost us right around $100,000 between supplies and materials and salaries and everything else, because we did bring on some more staff to manage that area. And it's got its own shop complex, its own office area, and all that other stuff. And so if we figure about $100,000 or so, and then that's not any capital development. So adding this new dock system to it, we've done a lot of work to the restaurant facility there. Also that C store and all that other stuff, that wouldn't include that either. So it all depends on how much money we stick back into it again and stuff. So it's tough to answer that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Sharp.
Thank you. Good presentation. And, it's one thing to be on the commission to vote to put people to work and to have other people do these projects, but you guys really have just really done an outstanding job. I'm so excited to see how well this whole thing is working. And congrats to your staff and everybody who's really chipped in to make that a success. I think that's just outstanding, and my sense would be the slip rental, the people that own boats up there are probably relatively happy with the new improvements, I would think.
Yeah, we've had really favorable comments from them. The new manager up there is working hand in hand with those slip owners to make sure that everybody is happy and they're seeing all the work that we're doing, and it's definitely an improvement above what they were used to. With the concessionaires, like I say, we're doing a lot of work to those. We're upgrading things. We're providing things that they didn't necessarily get with those with the concessionaires and some of that stuff. So I only heard positive comments from them throughout the year. They're going to have a big wrap-up kind of meeting here with those slip owners too, to kind of see, how did the summer go? What are we looking at? These are the things we're working on, and any ideas that they have. So we're definitely working hand-in-hand with that group to make sure everything's going smoothly.
Excellent. Well, and I think the exciting thing is that without getting into a cost segregation study, I think suffice to say that our efforts are paying for itself. So that's good. That's, again, a great job to you and your team. Outstanding work. One question is anybody been up there advertising like pontoon rides out on the river or the nighttime supper cruises, or hasn't that type of thing caught on up there yet?
No, I know that they had the paddle wheeler, and they had some of that, the pier cruise ship and stuff up there in the past, but they did not have that this year. Don't know if it's more because of the COVID-19 thing or what, but they have run those out of there in the past. Don't know if that'll occur in the future or not, but and I know they worked hand in hand with the concessionaire at that restaurant to provide meals and that kind of stuff too for those cruises. And so that's something that potential-wise could happen again. So.
All right. Well, great job. Thank you, Mr. Chair. No further questions.
All right. Any other questions, comments? If not, then I believe we go to item 12 on the agenda, which is the proposal for modern cabin fees and cancellation policy. Back to Scott, I believe.
Mr. Chair, Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks Division. Turn your attention to your commission book, page 112. It is our attempt to reflect some of those issues that are addressing those issues that Pat and Willie brought forward. Right now, what we have is the ability to charge basically two fees. One of them is a camping cabin, which is $55. Those are those smaller ground structures that we're all familiar with in state parks. And the other one is $155 for a modern cabin. That fee is new to us as of last year. We do have a couple of those coming into the inventory, but that was basically the two price points that we had to work with when we took on these two concessions. After some thought, we tried to come up with something that maybe reflected what the value of these, for the different cabin inventory, the suite inventory that we have. And you can see that on page 12, that's our attempt to maybe address some of the issues that we have. What we're asking for, rather than go through all 20 different versions of cabins that we have and set a price for each individual cabin, what we're doing with this proposal is asking the commission to give us the flexibility to price these things between $85 and $205. And that's going to be based on, what kind of square footage we've got, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, all those kinds of things. And what we've done a little later in this proposal is gone through and we've actually put that price together and we're bringing that forward to you guys. But we don't want to set these things in rule. We just think that, anytime that we have to adjust a cabin $5 and, when we have 25 different kinds, that's going to get cumbersome. So we're asking for a little flexibility. But what we will do is bring this to you each year and say, here's our fee schedule for these cabins. Here's our maximum price. It will fall within that $85 to $205. And then the only time that we would actually ask for a rule proposal would be at the time that we wanted to go outside those parameters. What we're also asking for is a little bit of flexibility to be able to reduce those fees on the cabins. This goes back to previous conversations about some of that dynamic pricing. We feel like there's an opportunity here when we see a window where we don't have a cabin maybe rented 30 days out, well, maybe there's an opportunity for us to drop that 10%. Maybe when we're at 7 days out, we could look and potentially drop that price by 25% in hopes of getting it occupied. We're asking you for the ability to make that reduction of that discount, but we would put a policy in place that would give our managers direction on what that looked like. They would have a little bit of discretion here, but for the most part, we would set that up and say, okay, here's the parameters for the cost reduction. We can build that right into our reservation system, and we can show those fees. So that's basically the proposal that we have in front of you as far as setting the fees for these cabins. There's a couple more things that I need to address, but that basically addresses those fees. If you move down a little bit further, page 115, you'll see the suggested prices that we have. Many of these stayed in that $150 range. You can see that, from some of the information that Willie and Pat gave you, it doesn't seem like these things are overpriced at $150. So some of them we left the same. But what you can see is that they are, in most cases, they're reduced from where they were when they were held by a private concessionaire. We reduced those prices in hopes of, providing a little more opportunity to folks and making sure that we get them filled up. That's the schedule, I guess, that I wanted to bring forward to you guys. And like I said, we would bring that forward on an annual basis and make sure that you knew what those prices were going to be. The final portion of this is on page 116. That's the definition of a suite. As I said before, we really didn't have anything to call these multiple units. So we came up with the definition of a suite, and that's the definition we'll use going forward, and that's what we use for our pricing structure. So kind of glossed over that, Mr. Chair, but I'd be happy to take any questions. We feel like we're in a good spot. We just need a little bit more flexibility with some of this pricing, and I think we can keep moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Comments? We'll need a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Sharp?
I would gladly make that motion, Scott. I think that's an outstanding effort. I really like the direction you're going with it. Just that's a great job. I really like that proposal. I think your team, again, needs to be congratulated on really kind of thinking out of the box and figuring out how to get more people in there and at an affordable rate, and that's a great job. So I would gladly make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second that. Jeff, kudos on the good job.
Yes, I agree too. So any discussion, more discussion, comments, questions? Not Rachel, let's vote.
Beast?
Aye.
Lockin?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring? Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
I believe that's all in favor. Motion carries.
All right, so are we going to then, if we're going to finish parks, we would do revenue, et cetera, report with Al Nedved briefly.
Real quick.
But yeah, towards the end of your packet there, I believe on page about 146, is the August revenue camping and visitation reports there. You know, very good numbers as we've seen throughout the course of the summer as a result of some of the social distancing initiatives and things going on there. We continue to see strong use out in the parks, both in camping and day use. And on the first page of that report, you can see the revenue numbers there, that those numbers do reflect both increases in usage and increases that are results of the fee package that was approved roughly about last year. So that far right column in those reports there shows the increase in revenue, not so much the increase in actual permits there. But like I said, for the month of August, we're up 53% in revenue due to a strong rally and some of those fee increases taken place there. Year to date, we're up about 38% in revenue. And one of the really strong positive points about some of these increases we're seeing is the increase in annual state park stickers. Those are our $36 annual park stickers and the variations thereof that allow people access to the parks for up to 18 months after we sell those. So that's, you know, we always encourage people, you know, the value that those annual stickers provide to people for throughout the year and all the access you can gain from that annual park sticker. And it's just great to see people continue to buy those in the ways they are. Our annual state park sticker sales for the year, number-wise, we're up about 20% over previous years. So that's fantastic. I think a lot of people are getting a good bang for their buck out of that, and hopefully we'll see them again next year, those trends will continue. The daily permit sales are up as well. Those are up about 15% as well. So again, strong day use sales all around. You can also see of interest this time of year, obviously, is the Custer State Park Rally, and those numbers permit-wise are about even with last year. We sold about the same number of rally bike vans this year as we did last year, but obviously the difference in the fee this year made the difference in the amount of revenue collected there. So good reports on the revenue side of things. Then on the next two pages, you'll see that the camping report throughout the parks, throughout the state there, there's not a district out there that's down in camping or even we're seeing Just fantastic camping participation. Even in August, August is typically a time of year when we see a little, you know, a little bit of a decrease from the July usage there, that you start seeing some reductions there. But we had a good August all around there, and we're up for the month in camping. We're up 4% over last year with camping, and then year to date we're up 17%. And then on the last page, you'll see our visitation numbers. And again, that's kind of where things are really strong, or even stronger than camping. You know, for the month, we're up 32% in day use. Seeing that kind of use throughout the month of August is in our beaches and our boat ramps and a lot of, you know, our trails. That's just been phenomenal to see that kind of use. So we're really happy with those numbers. And year to date, we're up 30%, which it equates to over almost 1.4 million extra visitors that we've hosted this year so far. So, things are great on that end. It's the time of year when we're losing help a lot of kids going back to college, a lot of folks moving back to their home base and things like that. So we got a lot of summer left. We got a lot of youth left. Typically, 20% of our camping and visitation has yet to occur for the rest of the year. So we got a fifth or maybe a fourth of our use that's still going to happen here in the next couple months, September and October, depending on weather. But with fair weather in September and October, those can be very, very strong months as well. So all signs are pointing to a good mild weather, and fishing looks good in a lot of places. We expect to see a lot of these trends continuing throughout the year and hopefully into next year. So with that, I'd take any questions.
Any questions, comments? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Now we go to 15, Elk Contingency License.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.